From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Delighted, I say, I'm backstage at the Mayflower, Southampton, talking to two of the Calendar Girls, the musical, and two ladies I've met before and never tire of meeting, the wonderful Ruth Maddock and Denise. Do you prefer Welsh or Welch?
Well, it's Welsh. It sounds SH, but it's spelt CH.
Because I interviewed Bruce Welch the other week, and he said he called himself Welsh, but his son says, no, it's Welch. So you prefer Welsh, do you?
Yeah, I think so. I've never really thought of that. It's normally, is it Denise or Denise? Never is it Welsh or Welch. So there you go.
No, yeah.
I'm not quite sure what I say. What's your name? Denise Welsh. Yeah.
My eyes are still a bit watery because I've just seen Calendar Girls, and particularly the second half, it just never stopped. And I think the sort of nude scene, if you like, is better than the movie and better than the actual legitimate sort of stage play. I think you do it better. It's beautifully done.
Well, in the stage play, in my humble opinion, it was in the wrong place. The actual calendar scene, the nude scene, when they shoot the calendar, it was the end of the first half. Yes. So what do you do in the second half? All you do is talk about one another and the backgrounds innately and all the rest of it. And I think they've got it in the right place. It's obvious they have it in the right place now. And the way I think that they've actually handled it is very right. Because I stood there. I don't know about you, Denise, but I mean, I stood on that stage one night and I thought, this is like a pop concert at the end. And it is. Because you've done the calendar and it's got them all, you know, screaming their heads off and, you know, clapping and crying and all the rest of it. And then you've got that cracker. Whoever thought about that, it's a genius. Yeah. But it is very
the Christmas
pop.
Cracker.
It is very, you know, a pop concert type thing. All we need are those flares going off and we'd be there, you know.
It's very, I mean, we've done something like 150 shows and we've had 150 standing ovations.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Even on a wet Wednesday in Stoke, you know, we've still got them whooping and cheering.
Yeah, it is marvellous. I mean, it really is. It's just, and I think they've got it right this time as far as entertainment is concerned. But if you want to have a thought-provoking sort of 2.5 hours in a theatre, then the play is the one to go and see. But that is very thought-provoking. This is just sheer entertainment, I think, from beginning to end, because there's some great lines in the first half as well.
Yes.
You know, and you get to know, they've handled it all. And bringing in, I think, Mr. Barlow has been wonderful for this piece.
And I think that it's very important for Tim and Gary that this is a play with music and not a musical. Because, you know, I've got friends who go, oh, I don't like musicals. And I think what they mean is there are many musicals which are merely a coat hanger on which to hang some superb songs. So you're not really listening very much to the story, which is quite weak. But then there are these fantastic, you know, glitter cannons and great big songs. This is not like that. Every single character, the song means something, and you'll have noticed most of us talk our way into the song, so it's not an intrusion, it sort of adds to it. And it's a joy to play. I've done many shows in 40 years, some great ones and some complete turkeys. But of all of them, I've never done one that has as much impact on an audience that this ever in 40 years.
I have spoken to one other lady about bigger buns, and that was Celia Imrie, of course, who was in the movie. She lived on the Isle of Wight for about 20 years, so I got to know her well. So
yes, it's great to be associated with that line. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because I'd been a huge fan of the play. I'd seen Ruth in the play, and you know, Linda Bellingham, and many of my friends had done the play over the years. So it's a joy to be in this.
It's a line that's waited for, isn't it? Some musicals and plays have got special lines, like the handbag in whatever.
That's
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The importance.
You don't tour that often, do you? Because last time we met was in Steel Magnolias, where we were here at the Mayflower.
It was about 8 years ago, because I'd...
You hadn't toured for about 8 years.
No, I hadn't. Well, I think because Louis's 17 now, so my maths isn't very good, John, Ruth. I don't know what he would have been then, but I think I think when your kids are little, and I, you know, I had some quite personal struggles for some years as well, so it didn't suit me to go off on tour. And the project has to be right, you know. I love working, John, but I also love not working. So if I go on tour with something, you're going to be away from your family. I mean, Ruth's all right. She's got John who sat here. She's got him rubbing her back and doing all sorts of things in their dressing room. And this is quite a long tour. But as I say, it's a great bunch of people, 6 or 7 Calendar Girls, but there's a cast of 20.
Yes.
So yeah.
You made a very early debut at an Isle of Wight circus, didn't you?
Oh my God.
Do you remember that?
I do. You're talking about the clown, my mum thing.
Yes.
So I'll
Ruth won't know this.
My mum was, she was someone that could throw different clothes together, cheap as chips, but always looked incredibly stylish. When I was about 9, my sister and I and my mum and dad went to holiday on the Isle of Wight. And we had these sort of navy knickers, which were like those school knickers that you wear. And my mother went, I'm going to put you in those with a blazer because that's how the French look. They look really chic. And I remember thinking, I'm wearing pants. I'm wearing my school pants and my mother's making me go out. And she made us go out wearing this outfit to the Isle of Wight Circus. And Coco, the bleeding clown, went, right, we need a young girl to come us and help us on stage, and pointed at me. And I felt like when you're in one of those dreams and everything goes into slow motion and everyone's laughing in the audience and you're stood there like the Emperor's New Clothes. It was horrendous. Oh, my God, how do you even remember that, John? Wow, the Isle of Wight. We used to holiday there many times.
I know you did, yeah. Well, I'm talking to you, obviously, 2 best-selling books you've had, autobiographies, and you had a hit record, didn't you?
Well, you say a hit record, John, which is very kind of you, but I did have a single out when I was doing Soldier Soldier, purely because of that.
Yeah.
You've got it.
Yes.
Oh, my God, you need to get out more. And yes, it went straight in at number 23 and straight out the following week, but I had a week of being a pop star in the charts.
I'll tell you what, Jimmy Nail, who you work with, obviously, he had a new record and you came in higher than him in the charts.
He did.
Do you remember that?
And I remember I was in the car with Matthew and 4 of his pals after a birthday party, and they must have been about 6 or something. And I remember it was in the old days when you listened to the top 40 rundown and it went at 27, at 26, da, 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 and it said, at 24, Jimmy Nail and Big River, but straight in at number 23 is Denise Welsh, and that was absolutely. It was Dusty's You Don't Have to Say You Love Me, because because Robson and Jerome had gone on to do Unchained Melody off the back of Soldier Soldier. So my character then had to become a club singer with a drink problem, go figure. And so I did in one episode Dusty's You Don't Have to Say You Love Me. They were trying to emulate Robson and Jerome's success. It didn't work, but it was fun being a pop star for a month. For Ruth, one opportunity knocks, which I never knew.
And you were in Fiddler on the Roof, weren't you, the movie?
Yes.
In the dream sequence, wasn't
it? Yes. But, you know, it's very interesting because, you know, we had, all of us in Heidi High, had a huge success. And I was terribly prissy, really, when I think back on it. Because I was offered, somebody came along and said, would you do a record? And, of course, I didn't. I just said, oh, no, I don't do things like that. I'm an actress. How prissy can you
get?
Well,
my agent fell out with me because of that very reason. Because I was in my late 30s, and my agent said, oh, this is incredibly naff, darling. And I just went, do you know something? Because I'm not a singer. Ruth's a singer. I'm not a singer. And so I just thought, at 37, when is anybody going to come and knock on my door?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, I should be made to do things. I should be made to write the book and all the rest of it. Because it was all there. And of course, I was being awfully sort of, you know, well, prissy. Prissy, really. I do reflect on it. And I actually think how very silly I was not to cash in.
Now's the time to do your book.
I will do, because as I said to you, John, this is probably my last big tour, purely because I will be in my mid-70s by the time you leave, actually, Denise, and I have to carry on for another 6 months. So I'd be well into my 70s. So I've decided it's going to be my last big tour, this, and I'm going to enjoy the fruits of my labour, which I've never been able to do. And funny enough, I was talking to my daughter yesterday from Gibraltar, and she said, "Oh, Mum," she said, "are you all right?" I said, "Yes, I'm fine. Now, you know." She said, "Are they looking after you?" I said, "Yes, of course they are." I said, "You know, Denise is my friend, isn't it? And she knows that." And because it's funny how you sort of gravitate towards people, you know, in it. And she was saying, "All right, but we'll be ever so glad when you finish it, Mum." And I thought, well, yes, she's right, because, you know, they don't want sort of, when I finish it, somebody that's, you know, fit for nothing, not fit to be a grandmother, you know,
absolutely.
And all the rest of it. So this will be my last big tour. I'll probably do a small play, you know, like, you know, Aggie Christie or something
like
that.
Well, yeah, but I'll tell you some bits and bobs.
Well, and I'll do that sort of thing, but I won't do a huge musical. You know, again.
My current guests are Ruth Maddock and Denise Welsh, two of the stars in the current musical tour of the Calendar Girls. They are at the Mayflower Southampton until January the 19th. And at the end, I'll give a string of further dates as they tour throughout Britain.
Heidi, hi!
Howdy, ho!
Hello, listeners. You are listening to John Hannam Meets.
I can remember when millions of us young guys fell in love with Gladys Peel, of course. That sort of changed your life, didn't it?
Oh, of course it did. And I was nearly 40 when I did that anyway. Yes. And I'd been around for a long, long time before Heidi High. I mean, I'd done Hunter's Walk on telly, and I'd done a lot in Welsh. You know, on Welsh television. I'd done the film of Fiddler, I'd done the film of Vandermilk Wood. You know, I'd done an awful lot before Heidi High, really. So Heidi High came and one was appreciative of it, actually. But, you know, it wasn't the greatest thing in my career, because really working with someone like Burton and George C. Scott and Bernice Borgnine were the big
things. Popular television.
Yeah, but it did bring me to the fore. And of course, that's why 35 years, 40 years later, I'm still here. And it is because of what happened then, you know. Was that similar to you with Soldier Soldier?
Yes, kind of. I was in my late 30s and Coronation Street, you know, because people still, well, if you've done a soap, people always say, you know, Coronation Street. And I go, you know, that was 20 years ago. But I think with you, we were of a similar age when we sort of came to the public, you know, but we'd both had a career before that. And that's what I say to young people. You know, everybody these days wants a quick fix to something. You know, and I say, my husband didn't become an artist till he was 40. You and I didn't become known till we were 40. Yeah. It's not just about television, I say to the kids. Get out and do theatre. Do your apprenticeship. Yeah. Learn how to
do it.
You've
got to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
So when you are there, it doesn't faze you and it doesn't throw you. Because otherwise you're here today and gone tomorrow.
Absolutely.
You know.
When you were in Corrie, because you only went in for a month or so.
A three-month stint it was meant to be. No, it wasn't even that. It was 17 episodes, which you can do in 3 weeks, to be honest, if you're doing, you know, they do about five a week.
And you ended up the landlady.
I did. Because when I went in, I mean, I never thought about it as being a long-term thing, simply because the producer, Brian Park, at the time, said to me, this character is going to come in and break up the Websters, who had been the happiest family in the street. And he said, and so it's a three-month job. So that's how I viewed it. I was thrilled to go into it because I'd always wanted to. You know, it became like a cult thing to want to do an episode of it or whatever. But I thought that Natalie would go in, break the marriage, Kevin and Sally would get back together and Natalie would be gone. But I think the writing was so good around that time that the public enjoyed having someone that they loved to hate. So that's why that she kept going, but then they had to soften her a bit in order for her to stay there because she was so vile at the beginning. But of course, once they tried to soften her, they have ended up turning her into Emily Bishop, and then it was just like nowhere to go. But I have fond memories. But it was it was meant to be, you know, a few episodes, and it was 4 years. But I was ready to go.
Are men terrified when they go on Loose Women? I occasionally watch Loose Women and you get a guy on, I wonder what they're thinking. Are they scared of you girls or not really?
Not really. I don't think so. People apparently, they always sit and cover their private bits apparently. Oh,
do they?
So psychologically, maybe they are. I mean, as I say, I haven't done Loose Women for 5 years. You know, I left for various reasons and... So to be asked back has been great, especially because we get Mondays off sometimes, don't we? So at least I can pop up and do it. So I'm not doing it all the time. I'm doing it now and again. But hopefully when I finish, I'll get to do some more. But they have a Loose Men now, I think.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, where they have two men on sometimes and sort of shake it up a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So they have two men on.
Torture.
Have you ever been asked to go in the jungle or not really?
Oh yeah, I was asked to do the jungle. I was asked to do, last year, I was asked to do Strictly.
Were you?
Yeah, but the thing was, I again, you see, being a bit sort of daft really, I suppose. I thought, oh no, I can't do that at 75. Because it was only last year. And the why they asked me was because I did that full Monty thing on ITV, mm-hmm. You know, the breast cancer and bared my bosoms to the nation. And
for a change.
Yeah, for a change. And I said no to it, no. But anyway, it would have clashed with this and I couldn't have done the two.
Ruth, please do the jungle. I would give anything to see you within the jungle. I would pay extra.
Can you imagine me with bugs?
Oh, my God. John, please make it happen.
Well, I don't know. Funny enough,
but you know, if you're not going to tour anymore, that's the kind of thing now that you can think, do you know?
Oh, yes, I might.
I might do something for a laugh.
Well, it would be a laugh, wouldn't it?
It would be a laugh for us.
I did a thing called which is coming out actually this month or next, called Hard to Please Old Age Pensioners.
Right.
For ITV. And it's all about old age pensioners being given gadgets and they don't know how to use them, which is typical of me, actually, I do have to say. But anyway, my episodes were with Harry Redknapp, who was super. We went on to a golf course and they had this sort of like Segway thing with the actual golf clubs on it. And of course, I fell off it, didn't I? You know, oh, fabulous. You know, and he was wonderful. He was great. That's one episode. And it's all about, you know, flasks of tea and trying to cook a meal, you know, in the open air. Then
oh,
we did.
That.
Yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun to do. Then I did another one where I had a Tesla car and it broke down. In
oh,
a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
That was dreadful. And there I was trying to find an electric plug so I could actually charge up the battery, you see, of it. And who did I have with that? Lionel Blair and John Sargent with me in that one. And
of course
So I was the one that had to go out in this thunder and lightning. I hope this film crew know what they're doing because I could see me being blown up,
you
know. But anyway, I did find one eventually, and we sat there, and then we got an Uber car to get us down to Southend with that one. Then I did another one with the lovely Ian Whitehouse, who is Jack Whitehouse's father.
Oh yes, because they do a show together, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, that was really super. We went on to a camping site. And we had blow-up tents. So, again, all these men were so impractical. I sat him down, got him with the instructions, said, you shout out the instructions and I'll do the physical. So that was good fun. So I think they've all cut together quite well, apparently. And there should be another series of that.
Oh, wonderful. Can I just mention, recently you were on Doctors with Sue Pollard, weren't you? Oh. And Paul Chuckle. Yes.
Yes, bless Paul, because he lost his brother.
Yes, he did.
About 3 weeks after, two weeks after it, actually. Yeah.
That was fun, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, yes, I haven't actually seen it.
Oh, haven't you?
I'll be honest with you, John. I was doing a matinee and I forgot to record it, but I'm sure it was fine, you know.
And, of course, Little Britain you've done as well, which is different from anything else you've ever done.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always a buzz to talk to you. I know you're having a break in between shows. We actually met first time ever many years ago in Southampton when you were doing a pantomime. Do you remember?
The Guildhall. That was at the Guildhall.
Yes, it was.
Because they had shut this, Denise, because they were trying to put in Les Mis in the new year. And they had to have that rotary thing in Les Mis. Right. So they decided that they didn't have a pantomime. So for the ratepayers, they decided to have one in the Guildhall. And I'm not kidding you. The actual stage was like a postage stamp. You used to have to climb up a couple of steps to get onto the stage at the back. At the back of the stage, there was a corridor about as wide as this that led to the council offices. So that was our dressing room over there. And I'm talking of about 12 foot wide, for listeners, this actual corridor. And you'd be standing there in all your glory. I was playing Fairy Godmother with Cinderella. And they'd come up to you, the punters, and they'd say, excuse me, do you know where so-and-so council is? I've got to pay my rates or whatever. All dressed up and nowhere to go, you know. I mean, it was hysterical. I have never laughed so much in a pantomime in all my life. The first night took 5 hours. And we had the Lord Mayor and Lady Mayoress in the front seat. And the actual ponies pupped.
Oh, did they?
Oh, it was wonderful. On the carpet. Because we couldn't get them on the days on the stage. It was awful. Anyway, love, we've survived it all.
You certainly have.
You've got to do your book.
Yeah. It's a real thrill to talk to you, as ever, and currently in Calendar Girls, the
Indeed,
musical.
Indeed, really enjoying myself.
And taking your clothes off.
Indeed, yeah. Why not?
Put that light out!
I'm trying to relax and listen to John Hannum.
I talked to Ruth about reality. You've done one or two. You did The Ice, didn't you?
I did Dancing on Ice.
Yeah.
And
you were good in that.
Well, I wasn't good, but I was the oldest at the time to have done it. And I stayed in for 9 weeks. It was nice in a way because I was voted so low by the judges. But that meant that the public had to vote harder to get me through. You know, so I was, if you're at the top of the leaderboard, 3 people have to ring in and vote for you. But if you're at the bottom, a lot do. So I was doing it for the entertainment value and you know, like empowering for the older birds. And it was really great fun. And I made a great friend in Matt Evers, who's my friend to this day. So it was, and I'm enjoying that it's back on screens again.
And I've read your books and you didn't like Celebrity Big Brother.
No, I didn't like that. It was a pretty dark time in my life and I shouldn't have gone into that, but for many reasons, I was told it was a good idea and that there were going to be 2 projects on the table for me at Channel 5 if it rated well. And it was all a load of B-O-double-L, .. And I won it. I did win it. But it was a hollow victory because it was such a miserable time. I was grateful to the people who voted for me, but it was kind of like they just felt sorry for me, I think. It was a very miserable time. The people in there
weren't
very nice.
But the public like you. They love you, the public,
well,
don't they?
Well, they've been supportive. They were. The press weren't when I came out. The press were horrible. But a lot of stories had been sold, as I then discovered. So it was just a bit of a dark time. But I did it. And some people who've been in Celebrity Big Brother have had a right laugh, you know. And I just didn't. There were some lovely people in there, but there were some people that I would literally never want to see again that were not very nice people at all.
I love your books because you're very honest and you can help people that may be suffering from certain things, which I think is terrific.
Well, mental illness has always been an arc in the books for me. I mean, I do my novels, I do myself, but these I did with a lady called Rebecca Cripps. And I find she's great, Ruth. And I find that by doing massive interviews, I can get everything out much more. Because somehow in fiction, it'll flow more. But sitting down writing about myself, I get these massive blocks. And, you know, whereas talking about them, you think, well, just like you said there, about the pink shirt and then that's reminding me of Brighton days and stuff. But I need those triggers to sort of remind me on. So, but yes, I am very honest in there. And, you know, mental illness has shaped my life since Matthew was born and he's nearly 30. Yeah, it has been something I've lived with for many, many years. And so many things that have gone wrong in my life, I don't ever make excuses for things I've done, but there are sometimes reasons for things, you know, sort of self-medication and whatnot. But that's all in the past now, and I feel like I'm a different person.
We all make mistakes, don't we? We all look back and think we should have done that. I really enjoyed today's show, and it's always nice to see you. I love you in pink, by the way. You had a nice pink dress on this afternoon.
And I will let you know that's my very own.
Is it?
That's my. I don't wear it now, but I've given it to the show because I like that colour pink, and so that's nice. Thank you.
Thanks for your time, Denise. And
thank you.
I wish you good health and good luck in the future.
Thanks very much, John.
Thank you.
It's great. He's got a swell personality. He meets and greets the stars with such amenity. Good enough to make you coming out of the street. John Hannamade. That's right.
Grateful thanks to Denise and Ruth, two lovely ladies. I did promise some dates after Southampton. These include Dublin, Norwich, Aberdeen, Dartford, Sunderland, Woking, Sheffield, Oxford, Cardiff, Southend, Belfast, Birmingham, Glasgow, Nottingham and Bristol. You've been listening to John Hannah Meets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannam.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.